Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to An Hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about this wonderful book called Leashes and Lovers. And I will have to tell you, the front cover is provocative with a pair of sexy-looking legs hanging over the edge of a red couch and a Boston Bull Terrier on the side looking over like saying, I'm the man. I'm the person here. What your dog can teach you about love, life, and happiness. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Donna. Great to be here.
Well, it's a delight having you. I think that your title, Leashes and Lovers, is just absolutely fabulous, and I'm sure you've been getting quite a response from that title.
Yeah, people love it. It's already become a bestseller, and the number one question I always get is, are those my legs on the cover? And I wish they were.
I can imagine. I mean, there's so many of us that would look at something like that and say, okay, can I order some of those?
Yeah. Or we want to order her life, you know, and we want the advice from our dog. A lot of women especially seem like they have nights out and, you know, unsuccessful in terms of finding the right man. And a lot of times your dog really holds the answers.
Well, I agree. Now, tell me about, now, Cheryl, I want my audience to know, first of all, before I ask you a question, You are a person that has been deeply involved with animals, and dogs are your love, and you have actually founded an organization called Leashes and Lovers, but it's a dog lovers online community. You are a certified dog trainer, and this is just your entire life with these animals, which is just wonderful. But you have a photo here on the back of your book of these two exquisite white dogs. Are these Afghans or are they greyhounds?
They're greyhounds. I love greyhounds.
Good.
Yeah, thank
they
you. I mean, I love all dogs, but when I came upon greyhound breed, I was just awestruck with them, and just everything about that breed spoke to me. And I don't know, I'm just infatuated with the greyhound. They're so loyal and calm and sweet, and they're just a wonderful dog.
Yes, and I would like to mention with greyhounds that so many of them are used in dog races, and they were for the longest time just euthanized afterwards. They just had so many, but so many people are adopting them, and they're just finding that they are just amazing animals, and they're like the supreme couch potatoes if you let them be.
Yeah, they are. They're such a simple dog to have, and I tell people all the time, if you think that you're maybe not ready for a dog or you want to test one out, a greyhound is the perfect opportunity because they're really so low-key. They have a lot of misconceptions about them that people would think they're a really high-strung dog, but they're not. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they're such a couch potato. They're very sweet, loyal. They lay around in their bed. They curl up like a cat. They're independent, but yet they're very lovable, and yet they can be very social, too, and want to be by you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's get into recognizing that animals communicate. And I've had dog communicators on the show and various people with animals, but I know for a fact that animals talk. I mean, they really do. They have their own method of communication, and that is a significant part of your book in more than one application. And I think when anybody's been around animals a lot, they develop a rapport or they don't develop a rapport. But it is really important to be attuned to and listen to how and watch, I should say listen and watch, because animals have their body language too. Tell us one of the most significant episodes that you have had that comes first and foremost into your mind with a dog.
Well, I probably have to give even my own examples. I've witnessed, I feel, with my own dog, Shiraz, who I have the two greyhounds, as you saw in that picture, but Shiraz is the first one that I got. She's actually 12 now. And I always kind of joke with people that I say she's somewhat psychic, but I think it's just that she's so in tune to me and what I want, what I'm feeling. I discussed this even in my book when I had my first miscarriage. It was Shiraz who came and laid in my bed and just almost spooned with me, you know, right. the whole night, as if knowing that I needed some consoling. There's been different times where she's come and just laid by my feet. And when I'd be writing the book and get up at 3 in the morning, you know, she'd come and still be there by me. And then when I'd move or go to get up, she'd look at me like, okay, are you done? Are we going back now? But I just think they are. They're so aware of our feelings and our emotions, and that's because that is what they sense. And the very same dog, Shiraz, one day we were at the New York City dog run, and normally she would just lay down on the pebbles while I would sit there and have conversations with other people, and other dogs were running around and playing. And all of a sudden she got up, and she goes over to these bushes, and she comes back, and she hits my leg with her paw, and then she goes back over to these bushes, and she comes back again and is more insistent. So I excuse myself, and I go over there, and I look over the bushes expecting to see a squirrel or something, and instead a man right then starts to have a seizure.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we called 911 right away, and they came and took him away so quickly that we barely got a chance to say, you know, it was the dog who discovered him. Mm-hmm. So I think some dogs are more in tune with those kind of skills, but I think all in all, we have such a deep relationship with our dogs that it's no wonder that a lot of times we grieve so much when they pass away and that we feel so deeply for them.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very true because they become so integrated into our lives, and I just find it fascinating the way creatures communicate. And dogs, some are more outgoing, but there's that trust that once it's developed, it's just like what your dog did with its paw to say, please, pay attention and moving. That is a very special bond because they're saying, I know you understand me, but you're not listening. Pay attention. Mm-hmm. You know, it's number two time. And this is something that I think with animals is extremely important. Now, you bring a particular statistic out. And it was a 2008 National Pet Owner Survey that more than 74 million dogs are pets here in the U.S., owned by about 45 million people. So about 39% of U.S. households own at least one dog, according to the Humane Society. Gee, I wonder what it is in Europe. I mean, in Europe, they let you even take your animal into the restaurants. Here, they wouldn't permit it.
But yeah.
This is something that people and their dogs, there's just a very, very special relationship. And you say, being a certified dog trainer with a BA in psychology and a master's in communications, you know, here you are a dog trainer, and with what you've had in the academic arena, how was that compatible in working with the dogs?
Oh, they're so compatible. It's amazing. And really, both have lent a hand to each other. And I even now a lot of times call myself the relationship expert with a doggy twist, because it's amazing what our dogs can teach us to become better at our own relationships with the other humans in our life. I mean, first and foremost, I think dogs especially teach us compassion. They teach us trust, to be more patient, to lighten up about a lot of things, and just to be more spontaneous. So the two really go hand in hand. It's like the more you get to know yourself through your dog, basically your dog pointing out a lot of those aspects to you, then it seems like the better you can handle the rest of life and all your other relationships, whether it be with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, your spouse, or even your extended family.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk about turning over a leash. Let's go into that for a minute.
Well,
hand over your leash is how you termed it in your book.
Yeah, I basically tell a lot of people that in handing over your leash, it's, you know, we try to be in so much control over every aspect in our life. And the more we try to control everything and everybody around us, it seems like the more everything spirals out of control. So first of all, I kind of spin it on its head in a sense of, especially when we want to have the leash on our dog, but to kind of look through your dog's lens for a moment. And basically, as if you were to unleash your dog, to kind of unleash bits of your life too and bits of yourself in terms of what I was mentioning earlier about be more spontaneous in your life, be more flexible, looking through at other people's viewpoints too. So many times we get so set in our ways that it's hard for us to modify what it is that we want. And I even give five aspects that I call in the book too. I call them, or six actually, they're HIP TLC, and what your dog will do in order to help you, you know, unleash the dog in your life, as unleash yourself, basically. Mm-hmm. And those are humility, intimacy, playfulness, trust, loyalty, and companionship. So HIP TLC is what I call those again, but those are all aspects of what your dog does every day just so naturally that if we incorporated some of that in our own life, how much better our relationships can be. And I even put humility first because that's probably one of the most difficult, I think, for us to remember to be humble these days. And, you know, our dogs are so humble in terms of being good listeners so naturally, mm-hmm. being more available, always available, especially to us. You know, they're always so eager. But if we just humbled in terms of our attitude, how much easier it would be for us to get along with others. And then again, I went on with the intimacy and playfulness and being more trustful and loyal and also the companionship that they can offer.
And your book, Leashes and Lovers, you have all kinds of photographs. But the one that just cracked me up when I looked at it is a woman with a fringed skirt on. It looks fringed. Maybe it's not. It could be just the color border. She has, I think, a pair of the ugliest shoes I've ever seen in my life on her feet. And here is this little itsy-bitsy chihuahua with an outfit to match mom's shoes. And I looked at that, and I just thought that was so, so funny.
Yeah.
Because people really relate to their dogs, and there are those that like to have matching outfits and this type of thing, and that one just really did me in. But I love one of the statements in this chapter. You say, know thy dog, know thyself, and the statement is that a particular man, Jim Fannin, who's a coach, part of his training in his seminars is that, or with his clients, whoever they might be, that they recognize they have no past, their goal is to make the present last, they're in the now. Now, animals live that way. I've had so many people that have been trainers for dogs that have said, understand, your animal is right here, right now. When you're training the animal, don't worry about what they did yesterday or if they had an accident or what have you. This is the moment that you're with them. This is when you work with them. Because mm-hmm. whatever happened yesterday, they don't give a hoot about, because today is what they're living. And that really is a great deal of wisdom.
Oh, isn't it? To just be in the present, and we hear that a lot, but to really be present and to actually really release what happened yesterday, especially with the holidays coming up, too, it gets a little stressful for us all, because as much as you love your family, they walk through the door and it's as if the last 20 years or so are just standing right there in front of you, and you have all those feelings of, you know, what they had said years ago, is it going to pop back up? And so it is, it's really so much of just being present for one another and being able to forgive and just enjoying the moment and enjoying each other. And there was another thing, too, and I had a wonderful conversation with Jim Fannin, and he's a great coach. And he had also mentioned to me, and I included this in the book, Leashes Lovers, as well. He calls it the 90-second rule, that this is the best way to have a relationship. And if you break the 90-second rule, you'll basically spend hours, if not days, repairing it. And what it is that when somebody comes through the door, whether it's your significant other or that family member who lives with you or so, but in the first 90 seconds when they come through the door, to acknowledge them, you know, say hello, mm-hmm. go up to them, ask them, greet them at the door, basically. Ask them how their day was. Take an interest. Give a smile. And if they're maybe in a not-so-great mood, to go there a little bit with them and find out what happened in their day. But mainly to just be there in the first 90 seconds they walk through and say hello, give a smile, greet them. And who does that all the time mm-hmm. but our dog? You know, our dog knows that 90-second rule and never seems to break it. And that's why we're always so excited when we know at least the dog's happy to see us, right, when we come home. So if we could do the same.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. I also liked the little commentary that you made. Dogs know when to walk away. And, of course, in this particular section in the book, you're talking about dating and this type of thing. And dogs do this. They do this with people. We were walking we have Scottish Terriers, and our little Scotty, he is very social. But by golly, if he doesn't want somebody around him, he lets them know within 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And he just moves on. That's it. It's like, okay, thank you. I do not choose to be bothered with you. Off he goes. Yet, with the people that he resonates with, he recognizes them. And animals read people.
They
read people. They know people. And I've just had so many experiences with animals myself. But just today, there is someone that has wanted, the past few times we've been out walking, wants to come over and talk. He does not care for this person. He doesn't want anything to do with this person. It's like, okay, Mom, we're going by. This is it. I don't want to be bothered with him. Somebody else would go, yeah, rub behind the left ear. That's cool. Yeah, that's good. Just scratch down a little bit more on the back. He loves mm-hmm. that, but mm-hmm. he chooses, and he walks away from what he does not want, and that is a very good illustration for that.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoy that part, and I so agree, and I've observed that, and I've interviewed dozens of people of their circumstances and things when they notice, too, in their dogs, and how even Cesar Millan acknowledged that whenever he does business with someone, he said, and interviews them, he always has his dogs along.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he looks to their cues, and he thinks if they're not comfortable or so, well, then he may not do business with them. But it's funny how often, and I've even done that sometimes when I've interviewed a babysitter or so. But yeah, they're so intuitive. It's amazing. One time I even picked up my sister from the airport. And my oldest sister's not very comfortable with dogs, hasn't really been around them much. And I had to run back inside quickly. And I was only in there maybe a couple of minutes. And I come back out, and my dog's hair is sort of flying throughout the vehicle. My sister seemed uneasy. Meanwhile, I could tell my dog had passed some gas. She was. They were. And my sister looked at me like,
"Yeah." That would be an endearing situation.
Yeah, she looked at me like, "Thanks a lot." And but it was so funny because I think she was uncomfortable, thinking, "Oh my gosh, she's left me here with her dog, and my dog would be the last one to bite somebody." But she's just a little nervous around dogs. And then my dog, I believe, sensed that, and she became a little nervous. And so they're both uncomfortable around each other, just waiting for me to come back.
You've mentioned something about bringing your dogs into environments. This is a very good way that you, again, mentioned in your book, when you have new relationships coming into your life, how is your animal responding to them? I know I've had experiences with Scotties where they have let me know they didn't trust someone. And when they didn't trust somebody, I think of one of our Scotties, Mr. Smoke, we called him. There were three people in his entire 12 years of life that he did not want anywhere close to him, and with every single one of them, there was something wrong.
Hmm.
And that dog let me know.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me you do not ignore your animal's response to people that you bring into your space. There's something they are seeing that you cannot see. And you call it dogitude, and I agree with that. But if you are beginning to date, or you're going out, or like you said, you're doing it with business meetings sometimes, you don't want people around you that are not going to feel trustworthy. And someone may say, oh, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You're going to rely on a dog to make a judgment? Well, sometimes they have insights that we need to pay attention to. Would you agree?
Oh, well, I completely agree. And as you mentioned, I wrote about that in the book called Dogitude. And I think it really takes a dog lover to understand that. So those who have dogs who are listening probably think, well, yeah, of course. You know, I do look to my dog, and my dog knows how to read me, and or I can tell when my dog is comfortable around others and when they're not. So we're each kind of looking for those cues, and as well as your dog looking to you to how comfortable you feel, too. So it's kind of as if we're both playing off of each other. But to the person who's not a dog, who hasn't experienced dogs, that would be harder to swallow. But I think it really is once you have that relationship and once you have a dog in your home, maybe sleeping in your bed or, you know, a very close relationship or so, then it does seem more natural. And I think over time it just develops with one another. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, especially where maybe the girl especially has the dog, but the guy hasn't. And, you know, a lot of the issues that they may have at first in terms of merging dog houses, I call it, mm-hmm. when they all do come together and how they can make things work to become more of one happy pack.
Right. And that I think is very, very special. I've known situations where there were people that were in the environment with animals and they really didn't like the animals. They were very, very uncomfortable with them and actually would do harm to the animals when the owner was not there. And when it was discovered, they just said, that's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. You're not going to do this because this dog person is a part of my life. And that is very important because if they're going to treat an animal in a negative way, just think of how they would treat the relationship.
Mm-hmm. And especially women that I interviewed, I think 99%, if not 100%, said that when they are in that dating phase, that they really look to see how the guy treats their dog because they almost feel that they are an extension of that. So how they treat the dog may be the way that they actually treat them. Mm-hmm. And most women, too, said that if they didn't feel that the guy at least liked their dog, he didn't have to be as gaga over their dog as they are, say, but if they felt that the guy didn't like their dog or took almost a fake interest, most of the time they said there would not be a second date.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is important. And there are these subtle things, after all, if we've lived with a companion, and that companion is not comfortable with that other person, again, there's something going on that you need to be attentive to. And I really like what you bring out in the way of facts about how people can really enjoy each other. I've known people that when they got a divorce, the most important part of the settlement was who's going to get the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'd think it was, gee whiz, am I going to make $1 million off of this? No, 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 no. It was all about the dog. They both loved the dog, so they have doggy visit sessions. I know this sounds like something out of a soap opera off of television, but it's for real. I've known situations like this.
Yeah.
You go into a lot of information here in your book that's just a lot of fun about establishing real relationships, how to be aware of being stable, how the animal can integrate, and there's just so much fun. One of the quotes that you give in here, and I should say it's a stat, is the pet industry is a $43 billion a year business. Whether it is grooming, whether it's dog food, it doesn't make any difference. People love their dogs. And your book, Leashes and Lovers, What Your Dog Can Teach You About Love, Life and Happiness, is just adorable. It'd make a perfect holiday gift for someone that is just passionate about their Fido. What's your website, Cheryl?
It's Leashes and Lovers, just like the book title. And then you can find the book if you also have to put leashesandlovers.com/the book. And that will give you links right there on multiple ways in order to order it.
Now, with my listeners, if you could leave them with a particular thought, what would it be regarding animals and whatever comes into your mind?
Well, I love that question. Thank you. Because I always tell people, too, that, you know, a person's essence is really revealed when you ask them about their dog. So next time you're face-to-face with somebody and you feel like you really want to get to know them and they're in a core, don't ask them about their job. Don't ask them about how their day was going, but ask them about their dog, and mm-hmm. you'll find out a world about them.
That is true. Now, Cheryl Matthews, she's just got a world of a background regarding animals. She's done a lot of writing for different magazines. And you can go to her website, leashesandlovers.com, and you can find out more. As I said, the cover is just amazing. The information in it, there's so much humor, so much good information that I think that you could relate to. And if you had a friend or a pal, and you've been wondering, what can I get them? They've got everything. Why not this book? It would be absolutely a great stocking stuffer or that perfect gift for someone that maybe you're going to be sharing a meal with or a party with that loves the animals as much as you do. Leashes and Lovers, Cheryl Matthews, and her last name is spelled M-A-T-T-H-Y-S. Cheryl, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much for being with me, and continued success with what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much, Donna. I really enjoyed it, and happy holidays.
Oh, thank you. Happy holidays to you, too. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and maybe some more of everything. So we'll be back in just a moment. Don't forget, leashesandlovers.com by Cheryl Matthews. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Our toll-free call-in worldwide number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. If you're a first-time listener, if you would like to call in and get a short but sweet psychic reading from me, I'd be delighted to do that for you. Again, all you have to do is call in. Give me your first name or initial. Then let me tell you what I perceive. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. 888-815-9756. A couple of mentions real quickly. One, if you've had a paranormal experience, something unique and unusual, then I would love to hear your story, because I'm collecting up to 100 stories. I'm wanting to put them in a book, and I'd love to have your unique experience given and written form via email. Send it to Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, international.com. That's Donna at
DelphiInternational.com. Also, what I wanted to do was to remind those of you who are listening from Western Washington that I am going to be doing a special appearance this Saturday. My goodness, these days are flying by. Do you feel like sometimes you're on a hamster wheel? Well, move over, because I feel the same way. I'm probably on that same wheel that you're running around on. Yes, December the 11th, this Saturday, I'm going to be doing an appearance at a wonderful event. It's the Dickens Festival here in the Pacific Northwest in Tacoma, Washington, and it's in the Stadium Way area. Now, for those of you that want to attend, there's all kinds of fabulous information on the site dickensfestival.com. And then what I want you to do is stop by King's Bookstore, say hello. I'm going to be doing mini readings there, and there will be a fee for that, and part of the proceeds are being donated towards the charity that the group that puts this wonderful event. I learned it's not the fifth year. They're in their sixth year. That's right. This is year number six for this fabulous family event. So stop by King's Bookstore. And I'll have you know, I'm becoming educated with Facebook, so I put up a little blurb on Facebook regarding that, and you'll be able to see that if you're interested. So anyway, just come on by, and I'll be there from 11 until 4. Those are the hours that I'll be there, and for many consultations, no appointment necessary, in costume like everyone else. Let's go to our first listener today. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and happy holidays to you. Where are you calling in from?
Hi, are you talking to me?
I certainly am, dear.
Oh, hi. I'm calling from New Jersey, and my initials are my first and last initial, A.M.,
All right, A.M., where are you in New Jersey?
In Burlington.
In Burlington, New Jersey. Okay, I bet you the temps are beginning to drop.
Yes.
All right, A.M., the first thing I'm looking at with you is the need for patience. Well, around the holiday season, that's not a surprise. We all need some extra of that around the holidays because of the high stress we go through in trying to be perfect and everything. But what I'm looking at is not the holiday stuff. What I am looking at is a goal that you are really wanting to achieve. It's a very personal goal, and it is something for you that is not only close to your heart, but you relate it quite strongly to your self-esteem. What I want to tell you is you must have patience. It's like going on a diet. You do one day at a time. And you just take one day at a time. And I really think that if you do some journaling, it's going to give you some good reflection material so that when you're before a women's group, as I'm seeing it in my mind's eye, and you're giving a presentation, you're going to be able to share some of these moments of challenge that you're going to be going through and saying, this is what I had to do for me. I can't say it's right for you, but this is what I had to do because of my challenges. So keeping a journal is going to give you some good material for a coming presentation that you will be involved with, and it'll come from your heart, and that really is going to touch the people who will be listening to you in the audience. Now, you must take care of yourself physically. I'm very concerned about you because I feel like I have been emotionally stripped, and I just feel like I've got a big hole in the middle of my solar plexus all the way up through, like, my throat. And I believe that what is occurring is that there is so much in your life in the last year and a half that has been shown to have clay feet. And it basically has just crumbled, and you've been left with a void. And you wonder, how am I going to fill this void? Patience is the key. You do have this void, but you just don't want garbage coming in. You want to be thoughtful. You want to be discriminating. You want to be discerning. You don't need to be in a hurry. It will eventually be filled, this void that you are feeling within yourself. And I think, gee whiz, 6 months from now, you're going to be able to look back and say, this has been a painful process, but I'm really glad I've gone through it because I've really paid attention to the little things that need to be paid attention to, and the big things have taken care of themselves. So
you're on track, dear, but I want you to be aware. Just take a day at a time. A day
at a time. Okay, does this have to do with the relationship?
I think it's more than a relationship. I think that it really is all about you and the changes that are evolving within you. There may be triggers by people, conditions, circumstances that are around you, but this is relating to you, the person you are. What's your question for me today?
My question is that, well, it's about a relationship between myself and Andrew. And
well,
I know you said patience before.
Well, with Andrew, I think you're going to need to understand something about Andrew. One, you're never going to be able to make him over, period. And Andrew has some scars from the past that remind me, as I'm looking at him, a fluttering bird. And I feel that Andrew does not know exactly what his feelings are. And you need to stop worrying about whether he's going to fly away. Don't go there. It's not worth it.
Okay.
You need to have integrity with yourself. I think Andrew is very good in your life in that he brings to your attention that you don't have to worry about making his life perfect. You've got to wake up to who he really is and then ask yourself, is this really what I would want to have in my space 24 hours a day? I don't think so. But I think he is, in his way, bringing you gifts of insight and understanding that if you're willing to learn from it and not come from a positioning of, I have this tremendous void in my life, I've just got to have this. No. What you want is quality. You need to ask yourself what is most important to you. And what you need to keep in mind is that quality of character of a human being is very, very precious.
Oh, absolutely. And he is of great character. I mean, he's a very, very nice guy.
Well, just be honest with yourself. That's first and foremost. That's where the biggest change is coming in. It's you.
Pardon me?
The biggest change is coming in you. Not in him. But in you.
Okay. I see.
And I want to thank you for your call, hon.
Okay,
I'm sorry,
thank
did you say
so
something?
Much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. We sort
thank
of overlapped
you,
there for just a second. And you have a wonderful holiday season.
And you too. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me today, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the collapse of drugs. Now, David Tippy is a man that is going to be sharing with us a great deal of information regarding the drug industry. So I think you're going to find it quite interesting. And then we're going to have a unique guest, Rashmi Kilani. And her book has an interesting title, Divine Mother Speaks. Her book is not a big book, but it's power-packed with wisdom. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about angels with one of my dear friends, Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen and I have had interactions over the years, and this gal just has a fabulous array of stories, and we're going to be talking about some of those Christmas stories. And then on Friday, we're going to be speaking with a woman, Allison Massari, who has gone through a life experience none of us would ever want to go through. Her material is called Ignited, and I'll leave the rest of it to your imagination, but I'm telling you, she is a powerful, powerful woman, and her message is deep and heartfelt. So we've got a great lineup of guests, and if you want more information about our guests, don't hesitate to go
into the Donna Sebo Show on Station 1, and you'll hit the button that says Show Information, and you'll get a listing of all of the guests that are going to be coming up for this month. So you have just a tiny bit of a bio there, but it's enough to give you an idea of what we're going to be discussing. So tell your friends, and I welcome you to join us. By the way, I wanted to share a recipe with you today. It's an espresso cake in a mug. And I'm not big on espresso, but this recipe could be adapted. And you know what it does? It gives you enough for a serving or two, and you make it in a mug. It's absolutely incredible and low in calories, but would satisfy that sweet tooth. And hey, this holiday season, we're going to have more than enough goodies to sample probably, but how about finding one that you could fix for yourself? That would, well, keep you away from overdoing on the goodies that otherwise may, you know, let's be saying, what is it, 10 seconds on the lips and 45 inches on the hips? Well, maybe not that bad. But anyway, Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 if you would like to chat with me today. Now, we're going to be taking a break in just a moment. I have got some wonderful, wonderful stories that I want to share with you. So when we come back, I'll share the cake in a mug that I think you will find really interesting. It's really short. And then, well, I'm going to talk to you about a Christmas display. Oh, this is such a special holiday story. So, when we come back, more good things to share. And if you want me to chat with you, 888-815-9756. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. RawEnergyRadio.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Got that pad of paper and pen handy? All righty. Here is the espresso cake in a mug. Really, really simple. If you like espresso, great. If you don't, if you're like me and that just doesn't tickle your taste buds, that's okay. I've got another substitute we can use. But let's try this. You need a teaspoon of instant coffee granule. And remember, this is just going to go in a mug. This is a one-serving deal. A teaspoon of instant coffee granules, 1 teaspoon of mini chocolate chips, 1 teaspoon of the mini chocolate chips, 3 tablespoons of Devil's Food cake mix, 3 tablespoons of the Devil's Food cake mix, I'd go with the triple chocolate cake mix if you're like me and you're a chocoholic. Okay. And the instant coffee granules, I'd make that a teaspoon of dark powdered chocolate. Yes, that's what I would do. You need a tablespoon of fat-free sour cream. And caller, I'll be right with you. A tablespoon of fat-free sour cream, a tablespoon of fat-free liquid egg substitute, tablespoon of that, a quarter of a teaspoon of vanilla extract, and an eighth of a teaspoon of baking powder, one no-calorie sweetener packet, and just a tiny pinch of salt. So what you want to do, if you have a mug that's microwave safe, you want to spray it with cooking spray. You put the coffee granules and mini chocolate chips in there, or the powdered chocolate and the mini chocolate chips. Add 2 tablespoons of hot water and stir until the ingredients have dissolved. Add the remaining ingredients, your cake mix, your sour cream, your liquid egg substitute, the vanilla, and the baking powder. Mix them really well. Microwave for 1 minute and 45 seconds. Magic. It puffs up, fills the cup, and you have something for pennies that's just marvelous. Yeah, I think it's a cool recipe. What is it? 200 calories. Perfect snack, and you can do it. You could adapt this recipe with different flavors. That's what I would recommend. Good stuff. Always like to know about things that easy and that good. Donna Sebo here. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Yes. Hi, Donna. This is Cheryl. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hi, Cheryl. Where are you in New Jersey?
I'm up in the mountains in Ringwood.
What was that again? Brinwood?
Ringwood.
Oh, Ringwood.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. If you're up in the mountains, you must be seeing a little bit of snow.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Wow. Well, that's the way it is out here in the Pacific Northwest. The mountains are so, Mount Rainier, which is utterly spectacular as a mountain, she is dressed so spectacularly in snow, it takes your breath away. She is just gorgeous to see. And right now we have crystal clear weather that may last another, if we're lucky, 12 hours, and then we're going to be slammed with some storms again. But, oh, she is breathtakingly gorgeous. I just love the mountains.
Must be beautiful.
Oh,
yeah.
It is, and I'm sure where you are, it's beautiful, too. Cheryl, let's get down to business with you, dear. First thing that's coming into my mind is the need for you to follow through and finish what you start. You have got a number of loose ends that are sort of dangling out there, and some of them are practical, some are sort of frivolous things.
Hello?
Can you hear me, dear?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me, Cheryl?
Hello? Yeah. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, you were gone, Donna.
Okay. Well, I could hear you, but you couldn't hear
okay.
me, so it must have been something in the drop. What I was saying is that I am looking at a need for completing loose ends, you know, getting them all tied up and put in their proper place. So between now and the 13th of February, before you take on any new projects, if you have something you want to start up in late February, that's great. But right now, try to focus on getting those loose ends tied up financially and also some physical repair things that need to be done around the house or maybe with the automobile, very practical things that have to be taken care of. Do that, and you're going to come out way ahead, and you're going to feel like you have got a momentum that you can work with during the winter months that's going to allow you to achieve some of the things you want to achieve. But you got to take care of the stuff that's scattered, the stuff that is just dangling out there that's bugging you because you're getting too distracted. So if you have, again, maybe put up a big board, like a whiteboard of some kind, or poster board, and say, this is what I've got to get to right now. These have to be in priority. You could make a to-do list if you wanted to. And then look at it and say, this has to be done now, and this is what I'd like to evolve into. But take care of doing things now. And, of course, with the holiday season, it's so easy to get distracted. But if you can just do one thing on that list, one thing, and get it completely done, you're going to have such a peace of mind. So try to tackle things one at a time. Even though you like to multitask, you've just been overrun with so much stuff, you feel like you're going in circles.
Yeah, yeah.
So
my husband's a collector, and I mean, he, as soon as I clear out a spot, it's overloaded with stuff, and, you know, I'm in constant conflict with him. You know, is filling up the house with stuff, and I just don't like clutter because it makes me nervous and edgy, you know, and so
well,
let
me ask you something, Darren. I apologize for interrupting you. We have a little bit of a sound delay here. What I'd like to encourage you to do is see if you can set up boundaries. In other words, I think of a young couple that I know. The wife is very much like your husband. Now, she is a person that's into crafts and loves to design things, and so she's got ribbons and stuff all over the place. And he is a person that is like you. He likes everything in its place, and don't bring any of this stuff into my space. So what they did, they decided, because they love each other dearly, to be able to live with each other, there had to be designated areas. And so there are certain areas, it's hands off. She cannot take and put her stuff into his space, period.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you know, that's, I have my space, and she has a room that it is, believe me, it would be equivalent to a hoarder's situation, but she knows where everything is, and he stays out of that room. He does not have permission to go in that room, because the first thing he does, he criticizes. No. That's her space. She can do whatever she wants with it, and he's learned to live with that. And then they sort of compromise on some of the other areas, but it really has worked well for them, and it was a big lesson for them. So she has her space, and he has his space, and there has to be a mutual, respectful agreement on that. And I think that then you can be more comfortable. But you have to have that designated area so that you can go into that area whenever you want. Is that making sense to you?
Yes, it does. Uh-huh.
Because he definitely is going to have that challenge, and I don't think that's going to change. So maybe you get a storage set or place that goes outside where he has to put his stuff out there. But it's one of those things that we are all who we are. We're very unique and individual, but you do need to have your own space.
I've had conflicts with him about getting storage areas, you know, for his things,
mm-hmm.
because it's never ending, and I know he's not going to change. And if I could look at it some other way and not feel so, you know, overwhelmed with all this, then...
Sure, just setting boundaries. Say, this is my mm-hmm. space. This is the deal. You have your passion, and I support you with that, but I'm being overrun with it, so this is not going to be your space. You bring it in here, it's going to go someplace else. You're going to have to find it. It's sort of like the way you are with kids, where
mm-hmm.
you'll say, this is your space, but you don't go into mom or dad's space, and... You do it. It sounds rather simple, but I think he'd get it as long as you followed through.
Mm-hmm.
And just put a little note, give him a little note. Say, this collection went out to this room. This is where it is, dear. It's been moved. This is my
mm-hmm.
space, and I have to keep it clear.
Okay.
It'll work eventually. It's just a learning pattern. How long have you guys been married?
Almost 13 years.
Well, you know, after 13 years, there's not going to be much of a change. But I really think that you're the one that is going to be able to set the boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think after a while, you can be very sweet about the whole thing and say, no, dear, this is my space. This doesn't belong in my space. And then you just gently move it out. It's okay. He'll live with it.
Because
he'll get it.
I have exercise equipment that I need to set up in my basement, especially with this winter coming on. I get that sad thing in the winter, and when I need to exercise.
Yep.
So he's got stuff all over the basement, and he says there's nowhere else for him to put it, and has to stay there. And He says he can't go out to the garage. Well, that's overrun, too, because he can't be in the cold, certain collectibles. And
well,
I'm
Cheryl,
like,
you've got these loose ends. Hun, I have to cut you off. I'm sorry, because I've got to go. We're out of time.
Sure. Okay,
I've
well, thank
go,
you very
but
much,
you're a
Donna.
Dear. You are more
thank
than
you,
welcome. You're welcome.
Okay,
bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. I'm so sorry we're out of time. It's such a delight to chat with you at any time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. We'll be back. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.